From the halls of every school in Michigan, this is School Talks on 760 WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy. Sponsored by Wakely Associates, Plant Moran, Real Point, Collins and Plaha, O'Reilly Rancilio PC Attorneys at Law, Clark Construction, and by Must Construction Careers. Now, take your seats. Class is in session. Here's Robert.
This week on the program, we're looking at all things mechanical. We'll be joined by Prudence Rose from Must Construction Careers, from the Detroit Mechanical Contractors Association, Laura Kopak, and from Lawrence Technological University, Lisa Kujawa. All this and more coming up. This is School Talks on 760 WJR.
This is School Talks on WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy.
Joining us now on the program from the Mechanical Contractors Association of Detroit is the Director of Government Affairs, Laura Kopak. Also joining us, the Vice President of Enrollment Management from Lawrence Technological University, Lisa Kujawa. And also from Must Construction Careers, we have Prudence Rose. Welcome to the program, ladies.
Thank you for the invitation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So this is part of a continuing series we're committed to on School Talks to showcase all of the different trades and apprenticeships available through Must Construction Careers, which is one of School Talks' primary sponsors. And for this portion of the program, I'd like to start with Laura and ask Laura, can you tell us a bit about the history and sort of the mission of the Mechanical Contractors Association and how it fits in or sets itself apart from the industry?
Okay, well, the Mechanical Contractors Association of Detroit has been around for probably, you know, almost 100 years at this point, and it's an affiliate of the National Organization of Mechanical Contractors Association of America, which mission is to guide and support members' success to build a stronger and more sustainable future for the mechanical contracting industry, which is a really complex industry, which unless you're in it, you really don't know how complex it is sometimes. So through our national organization, the other affiliates are, for example, the Mechanical Service Contractors of America, the Plumbing Contractors of America, the National Certified Pipe Welding Bureau, which is a whole different career in itself, the MCAA, Manufacturer Supplier Council, and various national committees, such as the one I serve on for governmental affairs on the national level. They also have mentor programs. They also have a women's program. They have many other different committees that deal with specific issues that are driven in this industry as it evolves.
Mm-hmm. So Prudence Rose from Must Construction Careers. Prudence, could you help us connect what Laura has just explained to us to all of, or at least many of the trades that are part of Must? How do they connect to Laura's organization?
Well, Must represents all 22 of the union construction trades through the Building Trades of Michigan. Mm-hmm. So they are just part of the whole group that we have, and I represent them all equally. So
I see.
Everything that she said relates to her trade, and then I also have all the other trades, and mm-hmm. they all have their own entity that they work with.
As such, like the plumbers and the other groups as well. So,
right.
Lisa Kujawa from Lawrence Tech, who's also with us today. Lisa, your work in the mechanical engineering program at Lawrence Tech, could you share with us how your graduates play a part in the kinds of work that goes on that Laura and the Must Construction Career folks are part of? How does that all fit together from the graduates you produce at the university?
So I'm going to talk about that. Thank you so much for having me. I'm going to talk about this from two ways. The first way is that when you look at who the Lawrence brothers were, right, 92 years ago, their mission was theory and practice. And the idea, you provide the theory, but you give them the application so they know how to hit the ground running, which is what many employers say about LTU grads. The thing that I thought was important that Prudence and Laura said was comprehensive skill sets. And so that's really what we do at the university, is particularly in the College of Engineering, which was the first college, right? Everything grew from there. And mechanical engineering is 7th in the country. Our College of Engineering is 23rd in the country. Our return on investments for our students is number one in the state of Michigan and top 11% in the country. But the idea of what the Lawrence brothers began was to educate part-time adult students so they could get a career. And what Laura and Prudence are talking about matches that perfectly, because still today, Lawrence is known for educating high school students as well as adults to not just get a degree but attain skill sets so they can go out and get a great career or build on what they started to get a great job. Mm-hmm. And so the two fit together very, very well.
So Laura from the Mechanical Contractors Association, in your role in government affairs, how is the mechanical contracting industry affected by things like regulation and policy?
Well, in the Mechanical Contractors Association, we're always monitoring policy, and one of the biggest policy venues that we've been looking at, you know, is actually the earned sick time law that just was implemented shortly, because that, in effect, was going to impact contractors that had contracts already existing that were not in, you know, in the collective bargaining agreement for those specific type of expenditures. Plus, you know, how are they going to plan for the future in terms of advocating and negotiating with their partners in the unions for a collective bargaining agreement for including those costs and rolling in those costs into the next contract. But that also is going to impact the salaries and also fringe benefits of people coming into the industry, which is, you know, plumbing, pipe fitting, service, and anybody else that ventures into our area that may not be in the apprentice program but may come from Lawrence Tech, may come from other universities. And it all kind of plays a role in terms of how that specific policy is looked at. I mean, there's other policies with respect to women and how women are playing a role in our industry. For example, Women Build Nations seminar or conference in the Mechanical Contractors Association about 4 or 5 years ago started out with maybe 1,000 women that came to the specific conference from all the trades. And now I believe the last conference they had was over 5,000 women.
Wow.
So that shows that there's obviously something going on in these mm-hmm. trades across the country and across trades, that women are making a difference, that women in policy is going to be driven in terms of how do you accommodate a sector that is coming into this venue to address the specific issues that they have.
Mm-hmm. You know, in the spirit of that, Lisa Kujawa from Lawrence Technological University. Lisa, could you share with us, in light of Laura's comments, how does Lawrence Tech incorporate hands-on learning into the mechanical engineering curriculum that helps prepare engineers to work in the very environment that Laura detailed for us?
So one very strong way is every student, undergraduate student, receives a laptop at the university that has industry-based software on it. Mm-hmm. So the kinds of things Laura was talking about, the technology, the AI, all of that is on the laptop, depending upon your major. So a mechanical engineer gets very specific software that they use. Second piece of that is many of our faculty do applied research in for federal government, for the state government, or for private industry. And so who do they go to work with them? Our students. And then our students, of course, the co-ops and the internships that they get, that experience, that entails a lot for them. We have a lot of clubs and organizations that the students participate in with the faculty that are either professional in their major or in a specific society. So all of those things, particularly SWE, Society of Women Engineers, as Laura said, it's important. We want these young women to see themselves in these roles that usually are for men, but that they have the ability, the strength, and the skill sets to actually do it.
You know, one of the things I appreciate most about today's conversation is how we've been able to articulate a connection between what happens at the university level, what happens on a job site with regard to the type of work being done, and through your lens, Laura, the Mechanical Contractors Association, who oversees all of this work, sort of wrapped around Prudence's role with the Musk Construction Careers, which represents 22 different trades. And the nice part of this conversation is it really, as I said, articulates an understanding understanding when you hear someone say, I'm studying mechanical engineering or I'm going to be a pipe fitter or a plumber, it really sheds a nice light on how all of this stuff connects. I know there's so much more for us to talk about, but we are out of time for today. I'd like to thank Prudence Rose, Laura Kopack from the Mechanical Contractors Association, and Lisa Kujawa from Lawrence Technological University. I appreciate the time, and most important, keep up the good work. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the invitation.
This is School Talks on WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy, sponsored by Wakely Associates, Plant Moran, Real Point, Collins and Plaha, O'Reilly Rancilio PC Attorneys at Law, Clark Construction, and by Must Construction Careers. Once again at the head of the class, Dr. Livernoy.
Joining us now on the program from the Plumbers Local 98, we have business manager Gary Glazer and the director of training, which includes apprenticeships, Ryan Lyle. Welcome to the program, gentlemen.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Glad to be here.
Thank you much. So, Gary Glazer, can you give us a solid overview of the Plumbers Local 98 and what your mission is as an organization?
Our mission as an organization would be to protect our members with the best training, safe work sites, as well as excellent wages and benefits, and on top of that, provide skilled, qualified manpower to our signatory contractors.
And how long have you guys been in business?
So in 1892, a small group of plumbers calling themselves the Plumbers Association of Detroit met for the first time. I believe there was about 16 of them. After a few meetings, they made a motion to apply to our international organization, the UA, which is the United Plumbers and Pipe Fitters Association. Our application to the UA was granted, and in December of 1893, Detroit Plumbers Local 98 was born. This year will be our 132nd anniversary. And in 2018, we had our 125th anniversary at Motor City Casino with over 700 attendees.
Wow. And, you know, with a history that long, could you point to maybe one or two milestones or significant achievements that the local was a part of?
Yeah, I would say definitely. You know, obviously every 25 years we have a big anniversary party. You know, so we've had our 100th and our 125th. And after that, you know, just a part of the projects we've been involved in, especially in the Detroit area, everything from water treatment to hospitals to, you know, the bridge, we're everywhere, and we continue to protect the health of Metro Detroit.
It makes you appreciate all of what's in front of you that many people don't even realize. I imagine stadiums and just all the, wherever there's plumbing, you guys have probably been a part of it. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I myself spent 3 years at LCA.
Oh, wow.
At the construction.
Okay. So, you know, in the spirit of School Talks, our program, one of the things we like to focus on is public schools, schools in general, and the opportunities that they provide children as they graduate from high school. So, Ryan Lyle, could you tell us a little bit about the apprenticeship program that's offered through the Plumbers Local?
Sure. Our program covers all the fundamentals of plumbing. We start with some trade-related math and science and use that as a foundation for some more advanced plumbing skills.
So in that process, if I'm a student coming out of high school, what is the what's the process for applying and what qualifications do you look for in applicants who may eventually join your local?
So our application process is all online. There are a series of work keys tests and a Wisen test of mechanical aptitude. So I would stress that a person coming right out of high school would try to be proficient in some math and some reading and some workplace documents. We do have an age requirement of 18 when you start class and have to have a driver's license. Other than that, we're pretty much looking for anybody that wants to work hard and possibly get a little dirty while they're at it.
So in the spirit of the skills you mentioned that are required, what does the curriculum of your apprenticeship program look like? And I have to believe it includes at least a fair amount of hands-on training. Tell us a bit about the curriculum and how that works.
So we do have a wide variety of plumbing and piping education. The first 3 years of the program is foundational in order for the apprentices to be better prepared for the more advanced portions of the program. We blend classroom theory with shop time in a lot of our classes. Early on, we have soldering and brazing and welding. Most of that is done hands-on. And then later on in the program, there's a lot of code theory. We do a little bit more soldering practice to help prepare the apprentice to take their journey test. And then in the fourth year, we do a cross-connection backflow tester certification that blends a lot of theory with hands-on.
I know a little bit about backflow testing because they make me check it every 3 years for my sprinkler system at home, if I'm thinking correctly, right?
Yeah, that is.
That's it. So how long does it take to complete this apprenticeship program?
Our program is 5 years in length. By the time an apprentice completes our program and becomes a skilled trades journey person, there are several work opportunities out there for them. We continue to have apprentices that excel as journeymen in the trade. There are some that continue to work with the tools. The work might be hard, but it is pretty rewarding when they do it. Others, they go on to be foremen, superintendents, project managers, even some detailers. Could be an instructor, owner of a company. Mm-hmm. They just end up being pretty well-rounded journeymen.
And, you know, I appreciate you delineating that because, you know, just the term plumbing is somewhat generic, right? And for someone to understand all that falls under that umbrella is pretty significant. And in that line of thinking, do you offer any specialized training or certifications that help a potential plumber do specific types of work?
We do. The main certifications we have training classes in or cross-connection control, medical gas installation, several other certification classes we do offer to journey workers after they've got their journeyman card and want a little bit more education. Mm-hmm. And we hold classes that try to make our members more employable in the industry. Currently, we have some classes such as ICRA, that's Infectious Disease Control and Risk Assessment, that helps us talk to the hospitals a little bit better about their health care and their water situation. And then we do have a class on building information modeling and CAD as part of our journeyman upgrade in the evening. We also offer some rigging and hydronics and going along with that backflow tester, we also have a repairer class.
So this is some advanced stuff here. So a question for, currently we're with Gary Glazer and Ryan Lyle from the Plumbers Local 98. A question for you, Gary Glazer. What are the key benefits of being a member of Local 98 in terms of coming to work each day?
Yeah, I would say key benefits are excellent pay, excellent health care, a secure retirement, top-notch training, and, you know, you start it all with a debt-free apprenticeship where the apprentice is getting trained and paid the whole time they're getting trained, and it doesn't cost them a penny out of their pocket.
Mm-hmm. And how do you help members find work once they complete the apprenticeship programs that Ryan talked about?
So Local 98 has four business agents, and their key job is to keep apprentices and journeymen employed. So they attempt to procure as much work, new work, as they can, as well as keeping in touch with our signatory contractors to fill their current needs.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a sense, at least in the last 10 years, I've heard more people than I can count say to me, you know, I'm having a tough time finding a plumber or an electrician or something, and whether you want to blame it on the pandemic or whatnot. Question for you, Ryan, what do you see as one of the biggest challenges or opportunities for the plumbing industry in the next, say, 5 to 10 years?
Well, you know, the biggest challenges are often also the biggest opportunities. The industry is always evolving and looking for better, longer lasting and cheaper alternatives to the way things are being done. So we're always trying to stay on top of the changing technology, the easier, lighter installations of pipe.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, Gary Glazer, business manager, and Ryan Lyle, the director of training, including apprenticeships for Plumbers Local 98, I appreciate you joining us on School Talks today and really helping our listeners get a solid understanding of opportunities available for people in your industry. I appreciate you taking the time and keep up the good work.
Thanks so much for having us.
School Talks on WJR with Dr. Robert Livernois.
Joining us now on the program, we have Larry Krasniski and Jim Wilson from the Pipefitters Local 636. Mr. Krasniski is the business manager, and Mr. Wilson is the apprenticeship director. Welcome to the program, gentlemen.
Nice to be here. Having us.
So I think a good place to start, Larry, if you could provide us an overview of the Pipefitters Local and what your mission is within the overall pipe fitting industry.
All right, well, Pipefitters Local 636, we work in six counties. We've got over 100 signatory contractors that rely on us to provide the highly trained and productive members to complete their projects. Our mission is to produce the most highly trained journeymen in the industry and for our contractors. And right now, we've got about 2,500 plus members, and we're 270 roughly apprentices.
So 2,500, like what would be in Southeast Michigan?
Yes, that includes our retirees. So we're about 1,700 active members that are out in the field working.
Wow. And how long has the Pipefitters Local been around?
We just celebrated our 111-year anniversary yesterday.
111-year anniversary.
Yep.
And if you could, over this 100-plus-year history, could you point to a significant achievement or milestone that the group's been a part of?
Some of our achievements are developing, like I was talking about earlier, arguably the best training facility and our training staff for our people. The project achievements that listeners would probably know are the LCA, Ford Field, Hudson Building that's going right now, Gordie Howe Bridge just finished up, Comerica Park, just to name a few.
Wow. And is it fair to say there hasn't been a shortage of work recently?
No. We've been at full employment for about 5 years.
I can imagine. Yeah. With all the projects you've named here downtown, let alone in other places. So, you know, in the spirit of our program, School Talks, try to focus on things relevant for schools and kids in school. And Jim Wilson, let me ask you, from an apprenticeship perspective, what training and apprenticeship programs does the Pipefitters Local offer? And alongside that, what is the process for applying for something like that?
So for us, we have two distinct programs. We have Pipefitter Welder and HVA Service Techs. Both of them are a five-year program, 8,000 hours out in the field, 1,250 hours at school. The Pipefitter Welders, obviously welding is the main focus, along with learning how to rig things up safely, how to do face-to-center measurements, as we call, so trade math. For the HVA service techs, we tell all of our people, you have a business with $1 million worth of product in the freezer, you need it fixed right now. Our guys are the ones you want to call to come fix it. Our process for applying, twofold again, the Pipefitters, they're going to have to go to our website. There's a application there that you fill out, and we're going to have you take a series of three tests. Two work keys. One is graphic literacy. Can you read a blueprint eventually? The other one is math. So do you have some basic math skills? The third one is the Weissen test of mechanical aptitude. That's the difficult one. We have free study guides for all three on our website. For the service guys, you're going to have to go somewhere else first and get just enough experience to get an entry-level job at one of our service contractors. And if you can show up on time and the contractor says you have the ability to learn, we assemble our apprentice groups from there.
So in the spirit of classwork versus hands-on out in the field, does this program offer any advanced certifications or specialty training for members that would serve them out in industry?
Tremendous amount. Most of those will be given at night school. You'll come to night. In addition, we are a day school, full-time day school. So you come to day school one day every other week for 8 hours. You get paid for it. That's a bonus. But if you want to take some type of advanced certification, so you want to really work on advancing your welding so you can become a certified welder, our contract gives you $1 for every certification that you get. Plus, there's more advancement if you can learn how to be a better welder.
Mm-hmm.
Also, for the service guys, there's all types of things that we cover in our apprenticeship program, but we want to go into deeper, such as CSD, Control Safety Devices. you're going to work on a boiler, you have to be the guy that checks out those control safety devices to keep the public safe. The state of Michigan is going to come in and check your work. So we really get into that deep at night. We have a tremendous amount of nighttime training for the apprentices and for journeyman upgrade as well.
Mm-hmm. So we're currently with Larry Krasniski and Jim Wilson from the Pipefitters Local 636. Larry, let me ask you, what are some of the primary benefits of being a member of the local as far as the support for its members?
Obviously, we have a great training facility. But we offer a great insurance plan. We've got two different types of pensions, vacation holiday pay. Our members have five business agents to represent them from bad actors out in the field. And our wages are collectively bargained for and more than fair in the industry.
Mm-hmm. How do you help your members find job opportunities once they're done with the training?
Our business agents work daily with our signatory contractors, and as they need manpower, we call down the out-of-work list and dispatch them to job sites where the manpower is needed.
So, Jim Wilson, how can a prospective member apply to join the Pipefitters Local, and what qualifications or experiences are required?
For the pipefitter welder side, there are no requirements other than your basic driver's license, high school diploma, or GED. Again, you go online, we have a nice application process, and you take those three tests. If you get a good enough score on the three tests, we invite you down for our interview process, and we select our groups from there. The HVAC guys, you work out in the field for usually about 6 months first. Mm-hmm. And then we take our apprenticeship or our apprentice guys from there.
And let me ask you, what do you see as the biggest challenge facing the pipe fitting industry today? And how are you guys as a local preparing members for these challenges?
The requirements to complete some of these jobs continue to get more difficult as we up pressures and temperatures. All of the welding that you're going to be doing is going to become judged even more harshly. Mm-hmm. And to keep up with that standard and automation, we're going to start seeing AI come in, and we want to grab a hold of technology and run with it. We want to be right out front with it. If it makes us better, if it makes us more productive, it gives us the opportunity to compete on the open market better, we're going to use it, and we want to make sure that we can meet that training. On the HVAC side, everything is aging in the United States and it needs to be fixed. Mm-hmm. So making sure that we have enough trained members in those systems, and we have recently switched over to all new refrigerant gas in the United States. The old stuff is no more, so we have to make sure that all of our members are trained on how to use those new refrigerants.
Wow. One last question, Larry Krasniski. What would you consider are some of the long-term benefits of being part of this union and the trade itself, both not only professionally but personally? What are your thoughts?
Well, this is a career. It's not just a job. So these kids getting in the apprenticeship, they do their 5 years, they're a journeyman, they're raising their family, they got a great health plan, they got a great pension when they get old enough to retire. It's all about long-term. It's about keeping the members in and supporting our contractors.
Larry Krasniski and Jim Wilson from the Pipefitters Local 636, I appreciate you taking time today to share with us the good work you're doing and the opportunities you're providing folks for a meaningful career in, frankly, an industry that matters quite a bit when you think about all that's in front of us. So keep up the good work, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
School Talks on WJR is sponsored by Wakely Associates, Plant Moran, Real Point, Collins and Plaha, O'Reilly Rancilio PC Attorneys at Law, Clark Construction, and by Must Construction Careers. Now let's get back to class. Once again, your host, former Superintendent Dr. Robert Livernoy.
Joining us now on the program from the Sheet Metal Workers Local 80 is Business Representative Jason Grunenwald and the Training Director for Apprenticeships, Sam Velez. Welcome to the program, gentlemen.
Great to be here. Thanks for having us.
Jason, in your role as a business rep and the work you do for the local, could you give us a good overview of the Sheet Metal Workers Local and its mission within the industry?
Typically, we try to provide training at the forefront of our industry for our members in an effort to capture work hours for our local and for our contractors alike.
Mm-hmm. And for the people getting the training, what types of industries do they typically work in, and how does the union help them access job opportunities?
Well, we work in pretty much every industry, from residential markets to commercial, food and service industries, educational facilities, churches. This being Michigan, obviously the automotive industry and Department of Defense, we work a lot in their facilities. We provide safety training to meet the requirements, the strict requirements of the markets we work in.
Mm-hmm. And if you had to point to two or three well-known projects in Detroit area that you and your local have been a part of, what would be some that you'd identify?
LCA, obviously, mm-hmm. Was a big one fairly recently anyway, and GM Lake Orion. That's going on currently.
Okay.
Large-scale project.
And, you know, what's interesting about sheet metal takes on a different role than other trades. Let me just ask this as a way to understand this. A project like the Gordie Howe Bridge might not have nearly as much sheet metal as a Lake Orion project for General Motors. Is that a fair statement, or...?
Interior buildings, correct.
Yeah.
Because the volume of it, what goes on in the inside. I mean, we work with, we fabricate everything we install. So we do a lot of ductwork installation, but we also do a lot of architectural panels.
Oh, okay.
Which is, the Gordie Howe Bridge is laden with that.
I see. Okay. So. That's a good clarification of that. So, you know, as part of our School Talks mission, we try to shed light on opportunities for students coming out of schools. And I understand you guys have a robust apprenticeship program. And Sam Velez, let me ask you, could you explain the apprenticeship program offered by the local and what the application process is and some of the qualifications you might need to apply for such apprenticeship?
Yeah, we have a four-year apprenticeship program that's 880 hours of in-school training. And we train from architectural metal installation, fabrication, HVAC installation, fabrication, HVAC welding, TAB, testing, adjusting, and balancing, and also AutoCAD. There's a lot of AutoCAD behind the things that our contractors are installing that we're training our apprentices to design these systems to be put into these buildings.
And, you know, given the variety of things you just mentioned, I have to ask the question, how does this apprenticeship program sort of combine or balance stuff you learn in the classroom versus sort of being out in the field hands-on? How does that work?
Well, the instructors are seasoned journeymen that have worked in the field for 20 or 30 years. So they bring a lot of that knowledge from the field into the classroom so that the students are given hands-on projects that will are straight from the field. You know, so they directly relate. And then our night instructors that are teaching the CAD classes, they're bringing in projects that they've worked on to teach the students on.
Yeah, and what's interesting about the way you describe that is, so you bring a veteran from the industry into a classroom setting.
Yes.
And they can really and truly help students know what the real world is like just from their experience.
Right.
That's a pretty neat connection. And how long does your apprenticeship program last?
It's 4 years.
Four-year program. And in that program, are your apprentices able to specialize in any particular trainings?
Yes.
That would create different opportunities for them?
Yeah. You know, the DATE program is a all-encompassing, where we teach them a little bit about all aspects of the trade. And then when they want to further one aspect of the trade, they'll take night classes to further develop into one part of the industry. And through those night classes, most of them offer some type of certification, as it being welding or TAB. Or HVAC service.
And obviously the focus is an increased specialization in some area that makes them even that much more attractive in the job industry.
Right.
That makes sense, yeah. So Jason Grunewald, what are some of the key benefits of being a member of the Sheet Metal Workers Local as it relates to your members' well-being?
Well, obviously the wages. We have pretty good wages. You're not going to get rich working in this industry, but you can make a good living. The health insurance is top tier, and retirement benefits, along with having the opportunity at any time in your career to access our training center and go back and hone your skills.
Mm-hmm. And let me ask, in the spirit of that, how many members do you have in the local?
1,400 active, roughly.
Okay. And do you know offhand how many retirees separate from that you have?
We're at about 2,500 total, so you know, roughly 900 or so beyond.
And when I think about 1,400 active members, that's primarily in what we would call Southeast Michigan?
Yes, we operate in six counties.
Okay.
You know, Macomb, St. Clair, Sanilac, along with Oakland, Wayne, and Washtenaw.
I see. And then other counties in Michigan are represented by other locals, I
Correct.
Assume.
Correct.
Okay. And this might sound obvious, but collectively, you're all part of a national group?
Correct.
That makes sense, yeah. So let me ask one last question for you, Jason. With emerging technologies in construction and manufacturing, how is the local adapting to it, or more importantly, what challenges does that present to you in the industry?
In construction in general, we've always been able to adapt. We've been on the forefront of technologies emerging. As just to survive, we've had to do that. And quite honestly, you know, working here in the Rust Belt in the automotive industry primarily, we have deadlines that we have to meet in a short amount of time. And we continue to perform and meet those deadlines so our final customer can be open for business and continue manufacturing or producing whatever product they are.
Mm-hmm. You know, your mentioning of deadlines made me think of an additional question. When you take a big project like Little Caesars Arena, which I think was close to $1 billion, I don't think it was maybe, but it was pretty close, your role as a sheet metal worker has to fall in an order of events based on how the building is constructed, correct? Like, and I'm just sort of making this up as I go along, but you obviously have to pour the foundation, then you have to put the steel up, right, and so
correct.
On. And in your role as the union, do you participate with other locals, or do you work with construction managers in order to know when it's your time to come into the arena and do your work?
Yes, yes, and yes.
Yeah.
No, quite honestly, we work hand in hand with the pipe fitters as far as our mechanical side, you know, our HVAC installers. We work hand in hand with the pipe fitters. We also do a lot of coordination and stuff with the general contractor to make sure things go in order. I mean, ductwork is larger than piping,
mm-hmm.
so theoretically it has to go in the ceiling first.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it doesn't always happen in that order.
Yeah.
Tends to complicate things a little bit. But, yeah, we work very well with coordination. We do a lot of, you know, building image modeling and stuff prior to execution to allow our members and our contractors mm-hmm. to be more efficient.
Yeah, and, you know, the reason I mentioned this is if you go into, like, Little Caesars Arena, there are lots of places where the ceilings are exposed mm-hmm. by design, and it just makes you appreciate all of the interdependence between, you know, the pipes, the sheet metal, the technology wiring, and it really sheds a light on how coordinated this effort has to be, given
Absolutely.
How many trades are involved. So Jason Grunenwald and Sam Velez from the Sheet Metal Workers Union, I appreciate you stopping by, and keep up the good work out there. I appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you again for having
Thanks
us.
For having us.
And with that, I'd like to thank all of our guests today for a deep dive into all things mechanical. From Musk Construction Careers, Prudence Rose, from the Detroit Mechanical Contractors Association, Laura Kopek, and from Lawrence Technological University, Lisa Kujawa. Also from the Plumbers Local 98, Gary Glazer and Ryan Lyle. From the Pipe Fitters Local 636, I'd like to thank Larry Krasniski and Jim Wilson. And from the Sheet Metal Workers Local 80, Sam Velez and Jason Grunenwald. That's all the time we have for today. But remember, there are two ways to spell one and three ways to spell two. Till next time, this has been School Talks on 760 WJR.